This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, October 12, 2014, the 17th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Everything is ready. Come to the marriage feast. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Generally speaking, if I spoke about something within the past few months, I try to go somewhere else, and we talked about in another gospel this rendition of the parable of the wedding feast, and I hid it from the context of the invitation in and of itself. But today I wanted to repeat something because something came up within the past couple weeks, bookends on this whole thing. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a wedding feast, and then many are called and few are chosen. Someone came to me and said, I always thought that that was the priesthood. I said, no, this isn't all on me. This is for everybody. Okay? Notice it doesn't say the priesthood may be compared to a king who gave a marriage feast. It says that the kingdom is to be compared to a marriage feast. This is for each and every one of us. So if you are under the impression that many are called and few are chosen for the priesthood, which is the case, but that's a different story for a different day, this applies to each and every one of you, because the kingdom of heaven is compared to a marriage feast. Our Lord speaks to us in parables because we don't get things. We can't get some things. You have to appreciate that. It's heaven. You know, it's heaven. God is God. He is transcendent. He's the creator. We are the creatures. There are just things we will not get. I mean, you know, pray God, you're reading your Bibles. A lot of people, they read Daniel, they read Revelation, they read Ezekiel, all these places that are in the Bible that are apocalyptic literature. People lose sleep over trying to explain these things too. Oh, I got to explain what Revelation says and this and that. It's Revelation. It is apocalyptic. Guess what? It's somebody described. It's even written by someone who didn't get it and just put it into the words that he could understand. That's the way God has to deal with us on occasion. Our Lord, the second person of the Trinity, deals with us in the same way, and he deals with us in parables so we can understand something. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a wedding feast. Okay? We all get the idea of the wedding feast, that we're going, the one on the other side of the veil. We all aspire to that eternal wedding feast, that banquet, that supper table in which we sit with our Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. I mean, step back and look at a little, you know, this comparison of the kingdom with this wedding feast. Point one, nothing is sorrowful in the kingdom. Nothing. Nothing is sorrowful. There's nothing sorrowful about a wedding. Although I've been involved in some where some people make it a little bit trying. But 99.9% of weddings are joyful. There's nothing that... You know, I said it earlier, Maury, you see that show Bridezilla? Very rarely is it the bride. Not pointing any fingers, but it's usually Momzilla who gets involved in stuff that makes it a little less enjoyable. Every now and then. But the bottom line is, Christ compares it to a wedding. There is nothing sorrowful about a wedding. It is joyful. It's the greatest of joy. The kingdom of heaven is like that, even more so. It is 100% all the time always joyful. Nobody ruins that one. Okay? It's always joyful. It's full of spiritual joy. A lot of people get bent out of shape about things every now and then. They'll, well, this person in my family, or this situation, or that and everything, and if I get to heaven and I don't see this, I don't see... Guess what? Two things are going to happen. One, you're not going to know. Or two, you're going to know, and you're going to know it's good, because it was the will of Almighty God. His inscrutable will came to fruition because we know. One of the few things we don't know a whole lot specifically about heaven. One explicit thing we know. There are no more tears there. There are no more tears. There is nothing that's going to upset it. It is full of spiritual joy. That's why our Lord equates it to a wedding feast. It also shows how intently God desires the salvation of all. It is truly his desire that all come to that wedding feast. That's why he sends out invitations to everyone. The first won't come. You go out everywhere. I don't care who, and bring them in, bad and good. God just doesn't have a particular, you know, penchant for good people, obviously. He calls the bad and good to the wedding feast. And one of the things, I always point out, the scripture can, there's some things that are just so subtle they can elude you on occasion when you read the scriptures. As I was preparing for this, something come out that I'd never really paid attention to before is this constant reference to being ready in that parable. Behold, I have made ready the wedding feast. Everything is ready. The wedding is ready. I condensed the three times. But in that parable, three times, whenever the Bible repeats something, if it repeats it once, you ought to start paying, you ought to pay attention to everything. If it's repeated, really ought to pay attention. If it's repeated three times, grab that ball and run with it. Our Lord is trying to communicate something to us with this continued reference to everything is ready. All right? Everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. It is a communication of urgency. What's so urgent about it? The wedding feast. Unlike an invitation in this world where you get, hey, you're invited to so-and-so's wedding. It is on this day at this time. You got a heads up. Okay, you know when to be ready. You know what to do. You know where to be. It's one thing that's a little bit different, a lot different, about God's invitations to us. We don't get the date and the time. That's a big surprise, right? You get an invitation, tells you how to come, tells you how to be prepared, but guess what? You don't know when it is. You just get the knock on the door. You just get the call. Hey, now. And it's each of every one of us as individuals, not as a group, right? It's urgency. That's why it's so important to gear our response accordingly. Because Jesus is comparing the kingdom of heaven, you know, and we all like that part. Oh, it's compared to a wedding and everything. Unfortunately, he also shows us the responses that are given by a lot of people. All right? And guess what? They make the king angry. They make the king furious. So this whole deal where you can walk away, you know, unfortunately, over the past several decades, you know, we get this warm and fuzzy God. He gets mad. He gets real mad. That's not because I say it. It's because our Lord says the kingdom of heaven is compared to, and the king gets furious when people do not do what they're supposed to do in accord with his invitation. One group makes light of it. They just willfully neglect that they received an invitation. Just completely neglect it. The invitation is given to us not because we deserve it, not because we're special, because he loves us. The eternal God loves us. He gives us an invitation. To willfully neglect it is a vicious malice. It is truly a vicious malice. You are offending to the uttermost God. You're not even giving him the time of day when he's invited. He's invited, and there's willful neglect. Some went off, some went to his farm, one went to his business. That's just a comparison for temporal priorities that we put over God. The Mass is a foretaste of this supper table of the Lamb. Not in a symbolic way either, not just symbolism. It is truly objectively a foretaste of the Mass. Just as we are going to sit at the supper table of the Lamb for all eternity with Jesus Christ himself for real, everybody likes that part. They don't take into consideration when you come to this altar rail that you are truly in his presence, really. You are in his presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity, not symbolically, not in any representation of anything as far as the representation of the Lord's Supper. You are truly taking him into yourself. It is real. And unfortunately, just the way people responded to his invitation in this parable, people respond the same way to the altar. To the Eucharist. They, you know, oh yeah, okay, well, you know, whatever. Some people sit in here and they're sitting here, but they're not sitting here, if you know what I mean. They're here doing the motions. They're here saying things. But they don't truly take it into themselves. They truly don't live it. That is this willful neglect that our Lord speaks about. And then you got this one guy who shows up without a wedding garment. What's that all about? What's the wedding garment? The wedding garment is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the freely given gift to you. So not only did the king invite you to the wedding, that invitation is tacked on to the wedding garment in the rite of baptism. There's actually a segment of that where there is a pretty big production made of giving the young one or the older one the white garment. That represents the grace of Christ. That is the garment that is provided to you. That is the wedding garment. The grace of Christ that you will take to you and walk with you through your whole life. Okay? You are provided the wedding garment. Not to willfully neglect is one thing. Again, as I said, it's a vicious malice, but the bottom line, if you show up with the wedding not on, you left it at the house, it's dirty, it's filthy, the king becomes furious. You receive your wedding garment at your baptism. You clothe yourself with the righteousness of Christ, and guess what? If you breathe more than 5 minutes after that, particularly if you're an adult, you mess it up. You make it dirty, you tear it. Some people tear it off and leave it place, but it's always there for you. And you know where you fix it? The sacramental seamstress and dry cleaner shop is the confessional. That's where it gets clean. That's where it gets fixed. That's why if you neglect that, you wind up showing up presumptuously, hey, look it, I got the wedding garment on. Yeah. It's filthy. Guess what? The king is going to be furious. This is not a moralistic sermon. It's not, you know, a do and a don't kind of thing. It's a matter of urgency, as I said before. That's the whole deal. Everything is ready. You need to be prepared to get to this wedding feast. Guess what? If you show up unprepared, there is no excuse. When the king says, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? What was his excuse? Remember? Nothing. You don't remember because he could say not a word. That is the judgment seat of Christ. Because when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you look at him and you know how holy he is. You know he can see your heart. You can go to civil court and sit there and give the judge a big story and all this and I did it. We are laden with excuses. We are people of excuse. Oh, I did this and I did, it was because this and I, you know, mommy didn't hug me enough when I was a kid and all this other stuff. Guess what? The judge here might buy it. He's not. Could you imagine going to a judge in civil court where you know he looked at you and he knew it, that everything that you did, he knew your motive. He knew what you did exactly. You could tell him one thing. That's the judgment seat of Christ. There is no excuse. You won't even part your lips to try to say, well, you will know. You'll know that he knows. That's what's so scary about this. And again, this isn't a moralistic sermon. It's a warning against complacency. That's what our Lord's telling us. He's not trying to beat you over the head. Hey, you got to do this. You got to do that. You know what you're supposed to do. I don't have to sit up here and stand up here and tell you that. You know what you're supposed to do. Just do it. Just do it because he is warning you against complacency. The invitation is to good and bad. If you're doing what you're supposed to do, there is no bad. Even bad are invited, but they fix it. This part, and let's end with this. This many are called and few are chosen part. Again, this came up in a context and a person went, well, I always thought that, as I said before, that was for the priesthood. No. That's for the kingdom. Many are called, but few are chosen. Now, do not buy into our Calvinist friends' idea of chosen, where God arbitrarily, you know, I made this guy to go to hell, and I made this guy to go. That defies logic. It defies reason. Why would I invite everyone, and then when they come and show up, I go, oh, no, you can come in, and you can't. You can. He would have given his invitations in vain. He would have lied by an invitation of a person he didn't choose. He chooses everyone to come. It's how we choose to present ourselves. Because if it says on the invitation, you have to do this, wear this, and do that, and that, or you can't come in, guess who it's on? Not on the invitor, but the invitee, who doesn't show up prepared. God in his infinite wisdom respects your free will. That's how he works. You have free will. He wants your faith. You know, you can grab that pew back in front of you and go, yeah, that's here. You know, you don't need any faith for that. This whole walk here is a test. You need to determine your faith. You need to ensure that you have faith, because he's not going to present it to you like the back of his pew that's in front of you. Here, I'll let you know through my word what you need to do for your salvation. This is who I am. This is what I expect of you. And it is quite simple. You can't show up here more than a few weeks and not kind of get that. All right? But it's how you respond as to what determines of whether you're chosen to come in or not. You know how to show up. If you show up properly, you're coming in, because he's invited all. But if you show up inappropriately, he is going to be furious. He said, our Lord is not beating us over the head with anything in this parable. Just the opposite. How positive is it? I'll leave you with these words. And I quote, behold, I have made ready my dinner. Everything is ready. Come to the marriage feast. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.